the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, earlier this week, this is an email, you mentioned that someone should write a song about girls who cut themselves. I am a local singer-songwriter with unique insights into this behavior. I work in the psychological profession. I've had significant exposure to this type of behavior. The working title is My Borderline Baby. I've got some decent verses and a chorus down on paper. I will keep you posted as the song develops. There you go. What else? This is about Don Rickles. Rick, there are three old-school borscht belt comedians I've always wanted to see. They were sharp, cutting-edge, irreverent, and really dirty in person. Buddy Hackett. He's dead, though. He's got to be dead. I think he's dead. Let's see. Jonathan Winters. Jonathan Winters, dead or alive? I think he's alive. Don Rickles. I have seen all three over the last 20 years. Love them. You need to see Don before he dies. Wish I had seen Rodney Dangerfield. Let's see. Scott Daly says, it's so nice to hear the mention of my employer, Wells Fargo, and our involvement in people jumping off buildings to their doom. No such thing as bad PR. Let's see. Oh, this is from Thomas. Rick, I created those sounders. This is the guy, Rick Emerson, where'd I go? It's this guy here.
This has been our Rick Emerson Guarantees. Copyright 2006, The Rick Emerson Show.
That's fantastic. He said, I just used the built-in microphone on my PowerBook. No. And I used QuickTime to record. Thomas Gill. There you go. Let's see. Bass jumping, blah, blah, blah. Rick, oh, I shouldn't read this.
No, please do.
No, I can't.
You must.
Okay, I, well, I can't read. No, I can't. It's someone, pardon me, it's someone who is claiming to have knowledge of the alcohol consumption habits of someone who's been in the news the last day or two.
Oh.
You know, yeah. Fat, stupid hobbits is her.
You mean these are stunning allegations?
You mean it's someone who claims, it's about Teresa Kaiser from ULCC. I'm not going to read it, though. It's someone who is claiming to have firsthand knowledge of the amount and frequency of her consumption of libations. I will not read that email. Because I do not wish to traffic in salacious gossip. We are better than that on this program. Rick, jumping off the Wells Fargo building, I was there, this female says.
Oh, good.
Rick, I worked at the Wells Fargo building when it was the Interstate Bank building. Someone did jump off the building several years ago. They used directional parasails like the stunt divers used. They jumped off the building and parasailed to the top of the parking garage next door and were jumped into a waiting car. They were U.S. Special Forces and did it as a bet or something. It's called base jumping. I was in the stairs when they went up and missed them by one or two floors. They lied to security to let them through the locked door to the roof, after which the security guard was fired. So there you go.
How did they talk the security guard into letting them on the roof?
I'm thinking $10. You're a security guard. You'll do anything. For it doesn't matter.
Well, that's true.
Give those guys a sandwich. Rick, let's see, here's an idea that could save you a lot of time. Keep up a couple pairs of pants at the office. I can't. The whole thing where I was halfway to work this morning and then I realized I left my house without any pants. And I don't look good today anyway. I already look terrible. I got this awful shirt on and this look all bad. But I can't, and I had to go back home and find my pants. And I can't start storing clothing in my office. Because that's just weird. Once you start storing clothing in your office, then it's like, then you look like an intern. You look like a part-timer who doesn't have an apartment.
But at least you have an office. I mean, you should use your office to your advantage.
I suppose.
Tim and I just have those little boxes out in the hallway.
Yeah, but see, once you start storing clothing in your office, you look like one of those radio guys we've all known who can't afford an apartment because his girlfriend has kicked him out. And so he just lives at the office and he comes back and he sleeps behind the couch in the production room when no one's around.
And no one gets invited to your apartment because you have no furniture.
Totally. Can I come over sometime? No.
No.
No, you can't. I knew a guy, though, that got kicked out of his... He got kicked out of his apartment, had no money, girlfriend dumped him. He was the weekend board-op DJ type, working overnights, making no money. And so he either slept in his car, or during the winter months when it got too cold, he would just come and he would sleep in the production studio behind the couch. And that was his whole... It was only found out one day when they went to, like, reupholster or clean the carpet or something, and they pull out the couch, and there's adjacent sort of closet thing that was up against the wall, and they find just... Like boxes and boxes of clothing and, like, non-perishable food items in a can opener. And the guy had just been living at the radio station. So it really does attract, radio does attract the finest people on earth. So I can't, Rick, God, how do you feed yourself in the morning? Oh, that's right, you drink curdled milk. God damn, he says. That's a Gary and Gresham. I didn't, in my own defense, I did not know the milk was curdled when I began drinking it. It was not a, it was not a thing. Rick, we have to know what happened to Sarah and Nate. Have they made any decision about the apartment?
I don't want to talk about it.
Ooh, that sounds like it went well.
Yeah.
Was he even listening yesterday when we talked about you and the,
No, but sometimes that's worse.
Oh,
because all he hears is like what other people say.
Because then he hears it secondhand.
No, you know, it's just turning into a big messy thing. I just don't feel like talking about it right
okay.
now.
I will not talk about that then. I will just make this observation, which is that everybody in radio knows that this is the case. That when you get a job in radio, the first thing you start telling everybody you know is not to listen. You start telling whoever it is that shares your bed with you.
Yeah, and then it's like, why shouldn't I listen?
Totally.
Why shouldn't I listen?
Everybody has had that discussion. Like, honey, you know I love you, but just don't listen between noon and three. And don't. And but see, but you're right though. If you work, especially a program like this one, where these issues kind of come up, you start off by saying you shouldn't listen, don't tune in, whatever. But they never believe you. And in telling like your loved one not to listen to the program, to one of two things happens. Either A, that becomes additional inducement for them to tune in because then it's like the forbidden fruit. They want to know what they shouldn't be hearing. Or B, they then hear about it from like third parties. Because there's already somebody, there's always some person out there like waiting to whisper in their ear about what horrific thing they think you said about them on the air. Or the, did you know Rick was openly flirting with a woman on the program yesterday. I just thought you should know. Signed, a concerned friend. And then your whole life becomes some Ann Landers column.
I remember that when someone did that years back.
No, it totally happens. It's like, dear Lord, you should know that Rick on the air today was flirting with a woman from CNN. It sounded as though he wanted to bed her in an adult fashion.
No, and it's hard to figure out the boundaries, too, because there's stuff I want to talk about, but I'm like, well, should I talk about this? Is it?
You got to not, but see, you got to act as though there's nobody. You got to, you dance as though no one's watching,
Sarah.
Well,
because the plot thickened a little bit.
Oh, but come on! Come on! Come on.
So I found out a little bit about the roommates.
Oh, come. Whose? Yours or his?
His.
Okay, so here's what happened yesterday. So yesterday there was a whole discussion, which we did not plan, by the way. We just fell into it because I was talking about how I got these right here. I get this How Chicks Think question, and we got no one to answer the How Chicks Think question because there is no chick. Jolie is no longer with us. And so at some point, like maybe next week, we got
to
start with the How Chicks Think stuff. But Sarah piped up with, yes, because I have a question. And I said, what is that? Quite innocently. And so you and Nate lived together, and then you didn't break up, but you stopped living together. So now you're going...
No, we did break up.
Oh, so you did break up, and now you're back together, but not living together, because that worked out badly before.
Yes.
And so then of all the places and all the neighborhoods and all the cities and all the world, he's finding a new place to live, and it's right next door to where you live, which... My only observation was that did not sound like coincidence. It just sounded
it's
a little...
It's not next door. I've seen where it is. It's like a block away on the other side of the street.
All right. And so there were all of these people saying it's a bad idea. It's a whatever.
Yeah. So he forwarded me the girl's MySpace profile. And it's a girl and a guy he's potentially going to live with.
That he would be moving in with. Is
yeah.
she hot?
She's cute. She's single. And she looks really slutty. And I'm not a big fan.
Maybe it's just an issue of grooming.
Yes.
No, like you should read what she... I was overwhelmed.
With interest, you know, humping strange guy.
She had a picture of actually, like, her holding...
No, a marital aid?
Yes, and being like... That's her MySpace profile picture.
The MySpace profile picture is of Nate's potential new female roommate holding in a sexually suggestive fashion... In an orally suggestive fashion, a marital aid. That's the face.
Yes, and she's also
you kiss your mother with that the mouth. You that. Who puts that under there? Who makes that their profile? Look, I don't care. I'm all for trashy girls.
I know, and I'm all about joking around with my friends and stuff too. But man, oh man, everything on it was just her and her friends talking back and forth about like sleeping with all these guys and just. Doing all this stuff, and then Nate's all like, what's the problem? I don't understand. You wanted me to move into walking distance.
Who's the guy?
Do you want me to show her?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do. Who's the guy? Who's the guy that he'd be living with?
I don't know. He didn't get to hang out with the guy last night because the guy was sick.
Oh, I see. So it was just him and the girl hanging
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Perhaps he was up buying batteries.
I'm sure they just talked about sports. Okay. We'll find that photo. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
And the flora and the fauna of the neighborhood.
Yeah, someone thought it is. It's part of, it's local color is what it is. It's part of life's rich pageant.
Hot water.
The beautiful fruit trees.
Yeah. It's all in. See, but this is what I'm saying. It's like, because.
I hope he's not listening.
Well, no. And if he's not listening, again.
There
it's
it
like,
is.
Okay, hold on. I got to look at the photo.
I told you.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. Why would you put that up as your MySpace picture? Why in what world would you decide that that's the face you want to?
It looks like it could be a wrapped chicken leg.
Don't you know the potential employers? And there's a picture of somebody's ass on that.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not a prude. All I'm saying is.
Maybe that's the old roommate.
Okay. Well, whatever. So, but here's the thing is, so he's either listening, which is almost preferable, because if he's not, what happens is...
No, he is, because we've been bickering about this all morning, and he's all pissy because I'm like, I was a little annoyed. I'm sorry. I'm human. I'm sorry.
Moving in with a hoe. What are you going to do?
No, and he's all mad at me. He's mad at me because he's like, oh, you don't trust me. You don't trust me.
You don't trust me to live with the sexbot?
Like, I don't trust sexbot 5000.
Holding a marital aid.
Maybe people on that side of town are more liberal than on the west side.
We don't have your Tannisborn morals.
No, we
don't. That's the thing is, like, you tell when you get a radio job or a job on a show like this, when you tell your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, not to listen. But the thing is, you can never tell their friends not to tell them. And so what happens is the phone rings at home and it's like, I was listening to the show today and I just think you should know that Rick was talking about you in a very disrespectful fashion. And it's just like, you know, so it just gets blown up into this huge thing. Your whole life becomes like one big Dan Savage column. All right. Well, so there you go.
Maybe it's just a cry for help on her part, on her MySpace column.
Cry for something. Oh, there's the text message.
Yeah, I just got the email.
All right.
I guess I'm looking for another place.
Okay. Improving lives across the Northwest.
Seriously.
This bringing.
I'm getting things from my friends. Girl, you better send me that girl's page. How could you not have sent it to me?
Totally. See, that's what I'm talking about. You get it doubly bad as a girl because here's what's going to happen.
Well, because I seem like an insecure bitch and I hate it.
Because now does he have a problem with you living with two dudes?
No, he didn't have any problem, which is what's killing me.
Of course, your dudes aren't posing with a blow up doll on their MySpace.
Yeah,
page.
Well, I mean, they're both, both of my roommates are single.
They're strangely asexual.
Yeah, I mean, they're both good looking, but he trusts me and I trust him.
You don't trust the girl.
I was completely fine until he sent me her profile, and then I just freaked out.
You know, and here's the worst part, though, as a girl, because this is the difference between men and women.
And he just described me as really cool, and really, like, I was just like, oh.
Uh-huh. She's one of the guys. She just likes to hang out in her panties. She likes... So, the problem for you, though, as a woman, is, and this is a problem men don't have, the problem for you, Sarah, as a woman, is that your girlfriends will see that photo, and then you will get the ration of crap from your girlfriends about, how could anybody let his man, I would never let my boyfriend.
Why do you think I haven't shown it to anybody?
Totally,
I've kept it to myself.
Because it's totally going to be a whole lot of, how can you, I cannot fathom how you let your man live with, you know.
You know, and Nate is one of those people who gets along with everybody. He would be just fine there. Like, I know he would. He's lived in many houses.
I think he'd be more than fine. I think the Fuller Brush Man would be more than fine at that house. The guy's looking for directions. Mormons on bicycles. All right. Should we play this Neil Young song?
Yeah.
Yes, we should. All right, so let's play. I got this over here. Let's play this Neil Young song. We'll now end the Rick Emerson Show guarantees.
This has been our Rick Emerson guarantees. Copyright 2006.
All right. We'll play that. I got this from our good friend Dan Bozick. At KUFO. He forwarded this to me, and it was initially brought to my attention by Alicia, who works in the office here. This is the new song by Neil Young, and it's, I forget the name of the album's called, I don't know, Screw the President or something. The album's called, you know, Stick It to the Man or whatever. It's some album that's all about the current state of America, whatever. So I have not heard this, but this is the new song by Neil Young, and it is called Let's Impeach the President, and it's right here. Well, the Rick Emerson Show. is totally the melody from City of New Orleans by Willie Nelson, by the way.
Oh, it is.
This is completely...
I smell a lawsuit.
Riding on the City of New Orleans. This is completely that Willie Nelson song. This is a terrible song. Is there a chorus at some... I sound like a music director. Is there a hook? No, apparently not.
Why would it do?
Please don't bore us. Get to the chorus. Oh, God. You know this is going to be on KBOO like 1,000 times a day starting tomorrow.
I'm bored.
Okay, no, I sense there's a big hook coming right here where they'll change the melody. No. Ah, this is just sad.
I think you should have done some ABBA songs. And I'm done over there.
Well, I call this a swing and a miss. All right, there you go. All right, there you go. I can't take any more of that. Well, there you go. There you go. It's 503-733-2970.
Wait, I want to come on and apologize. Because I don't know this girl, okay? And I guess she's listening with all of her coworkers, and I feel really bad. I don't know anything about her. Okay, that's all. I'm sorry. I don't know you.
She worked for, like, the mayor's office?
I want to know you. My boyfriend
we don't know
needs
where
a place.
She
My boyfriend needs a place to live, and you guys seem to get along. Sorry about making fun of your picture. I love you, Nate.
Well, there's a spot in the basement behind the corner.
Okay.
I'm going to go die now.
Answer Rick Emerson's show live from Portland.
Wow.
Good times.
Let's please, for the love of God, break.
Making relationships run smoothly one day at a time.
This is a cheery little song.
That means her coworkers know that she poses with vibrators.
See, anyone who makes a picture like that, I wouldn't think she'd be embarrassed about it.
Well, live and learn. This slice of Northwest life brought to you by the Rick Emerson Show.
Good afternoon, Northwest.
Prime part of the CBS radio family. We'll be back with these phone calls. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's the Old Eaters.
Could be happy, can't you see? If you don't need that, maybe the one who holds you. And keep you here with me. Because it hurts me so just to see you go around with someone new.
The Rick Emerson Show brought to you by Viso Beverages. They can be found at Zupan's, New Seasons, Thriftways, and fine delis and convenience stores throughout Portland and Vancouver. Good times. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me, I'll just bring us back this way. Wait, can you drop the IAB a little bit?
Call the Rick Emerson Show with your opinions, thoughts, comments, and kvetches. At 503-733-2970.
All right, there you go. Hey, you can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. How's everybody's day going?
Well, I'm single.
I've already got the emails, by the way. You don't want to know this. Sample, assemble it. So, is Sarah available? Just checking.
No.
Oh, yeah, he says. All right, it's 5037.
It's just we've been off the air for a while. I need to relearn my filter.
2970. Well, my only observation was going to be this, and I don't wish to dwell, because there's been some unpleasantness. We've had some speed bumps in the last few minutes. My only observation was going to be this, is that it does not seem, to my way of thinking, that a picture posted on MySpace, which is by definition a public networking open to everybody, literally, quite literally, everybody in the world with an internet connection, even people in China probably, could see it. There, it is open to 6 billion people. Anyone with a computer, it can see it. It's a public site. I was simply commenting on something that clearly is put out there for everybody to look at. So, that's going to be my only observation. And, yeah, okay. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All of these things about the stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley. Woo! Let's do something not at all unpleasant.
From Myers out at the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. The man accused of killing that 17-year-old Vancouver girl at McDonald's returned to a Clark County courtroom today.
Was he clutching a stuffed animal? Tell me he was.
He has not entered a plea, at least for now.
All right.
They're trying to decide whether he's competent to stand trial.
Okay.
Meanwhile, from Little Rock comes word, a joker who made a bat cave out of his dorm room and three other students believed to have stolen the dozen nocturnal critters could face criminal charges. The students had been in close contact with the bats, but the exposure wasn't significant enough to require rabies shots. Health officials urged anyone who was near the bats or the dorm room to be evaluated. The students gathered the brown bats during a caving expedition at Devil's Den State Park in northwest Arkansas. And the brats were pretty docile. They were sleeping, so they brought them back to the dorm room.
You know, Laura and I actually found a bat downtown a while back. I have to say, and then we'll get to these calls. I got two calls, then we'll talk to Jim Roop. We'll do all this inside the City Desk. Okay. I got to tell you, it was pretty cute, actually. We were walking along the sidewalk downtown. It was right downtown, actually, by that Roventes on, like, 2nd or whatever. You know the place with the octopus? There's the Greek place there?
Oh, the Greek cuisine?
Yeah, so we're walking along, and we see this thing flapping on the street, or on the sidewalk. And we're like, what the hell is that? It looks like a big mouse or a spider or something. We looked, and it was a bat. And it was so cute. It was a bat with an injured wing. It was the cutest thing ever.
Did it have the look of help me in its eyes?
It did. It was sort of like going, and it was going like, it was adorable. It really was. And maybe I'm cut from a different kind of cloth because I found it adorable. We're like, oh, look at the cute little bat, you know? So we're looking at the bat and we don't know what to do. And right, it was the best Portland moment ever. Right as we're looking at the injured bat, this lesbian couple walks by and they're both these like weird, these pierced up gothic lesbians. And just, you know, they totally have that I don't belong on this planet look to them, just like I am a freak in 7 different ways. And they said, what's that? And we said, it's a bat. And the girl goes, oh, I love bats, which is like a phrase you don't hear all that often.
No.
And we said, yeah, we think it's injured. She goes, no. And she starts gushing. The gothic lesbian girl starts gushing. She's like, no, I'll take it home and I'll nurse it back to health. And we said, really? And she goes, yes. And she, without even, because I'm always taught, you know, I have rabies. She just like reaches down, picks up the bat, and literally she picks up the bat in the palm of her hand. And I swear to you, the bat like scampers up her arm and like curls up in the crook of her elbow. She tucks it into her pocket and we all shake hands and we walk away. And it was like one of those only in Portland and only at like 1 a.m. downtown moments.
Wow.
It was fantastic. So there you go. There's your bat story for the day. We'll get to these calls in a second. Let's welcome now from Los Angeles, our good friend, Jim Roop, reporting for CNN. How are you, sir?
I am well, sir. Good afternoon.
How are you? How's your life going?
Life's going well, because I got some interesting answers from some people today. The organization Act Now to Stop War and End Racism, one of the many groups advocating a boycott on Monday.
I hate people. The great thing about talking to you so regularly is A, you're fantastic, and B, you're hilarious, C, the audience loves you, D, it makes me look like a player because I know people in the media world, and E, by talking to you so frequently, it's like we can actually track your sort of veer towards mental collapse. It's like every day I can actually hear you becoming a little more and more frustrated. And I know it's only a matter of time before you ask one of these protesters something and you kind of get the, I don't know, whatever, man. And then you just unload on them with a pipe in the face.
Well,
it's just a matter of time. You're gonna bust some hippies' teeth out at some point. It's going to be genius.
Well, I got this group and they call themselves Answer, Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. It's amazing to me, the thought process, because when they say they are for complete open borders, and I say to them, do you realize that there is no country in this world that has an open border? Did you realize that if there was an open border, it would be chaos? They say no. And they also say that trade moves freely across the border, but people don't. And I said, there are international trade laws that regulate commerce crossing borders, and that anything that comes across the border illegally is called smuggling.
It's
and they said to me, that's not the point. Well, thank you very little.
God.
It's amazing to me that when people don't have an argument.
Well, see, in Portland, we're just up to our eyeballs in people like that, too, because just people who have no idea. They basically don't have jobs. And like they can't afford cable because they don't have jobs, and they have all these they have all these magic markers around the house that they've been huffing from, and so they figure they might as well make some placard and go annoy the rest of us and stop traffic.
Look, no one disputes the contributions immigrants make to this country.
Right.
Nobody does. I mean, I'm a product of an immigrant. So are you.
Yes.
At some point in our lives.
Absolutely.
In our genealogy. However, there is a difference between illegal and legal immigrants.
Absolutely.
Illegal and immigration, and while they say they want open border. And also listen to this. Amnesty is a democratic right that should be afforded everyone.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's practical to implement.
At the same time, instead of saying, that's what we mean by immigration reform. You don't want immigration policy at all.
You just don't want laws.
You don't want laws.
Yeah.
I can't wait till Monday.
Well, here's the thing. We'll talk about that in a second. The thing is, what is the thing? I had some point that I was going to... Oh, yeah, but it's a side note. They're called Answer...
Yeah.
The contortions that these people must go through to come up with a name for the group that fits a predetermined acronym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think they come up with the acronym first.
Yeah, it's like that band of Slayer. When I was in high school, there was this preacher around town, and he was telling me that Slayer was demonic, and I said, really? And he goes, yes, don't you know that this is completely true? He said, don't you know that Slayer stands for Satan laughs as you eternally rot? And I swear to God, he said that, and I'm like, so these guys, you know, these protest groups, they like want to call themselves, you know, whatever, like Strike Force 5 or whatever, and then they got to sit down and get really high with like a dry erase board and figure out what the hell their group name is going to be to fit that. So on Monday, and we tried to figure out if this was going to happen here, because Portland is just such a hippie, trippy town. On Monday, their goal is to what? Close the city, basically?
Yeah, I mean, you know, their goal is to, shut down economically the city.
All right.
And I said, well, I talked to people, they're buying stuff today. They're stocking up. So what does that do? You know, I mean, it's the same amount of money being spent just on a different day.
Right.
And they said it's not meant to topple the economy in one day.
Uh-huh.
It's meant to just show the lack of bodies that are in stores or at work or in school and the number of bodies that are in the streets. It's supposed to make an economic and a political statement.
But I... So this is,
it will.
And this is...
But they'll lose money. They will not be paid.
Yeah.
And they'll go out and their bosses will get, you know, five other guys outside of Home Depot to replace them, and they're going to bitch about that.
That's exactly what it is. So this is an immigration thing, and that this group is called Something Against War?
Yes, they're called Act Now to Stop War and End Racism.
Is this just
it's an umbrella organization.
Just Act Now to Stop Stuff? Act now to do stuff and stop other things.
What acronym would that be?
I have no idea. Act now to start a bigger and better Grateful Dead tape swapping organization.
You know, I feel so bad for the poor Slavs that are following these groups because they can't think for themselves.
Oh.
I really do.
Pinheads.
Feel bad for them.
Yeah. Well.
And they're being taken advantage of by the very groups who claim to be helping them, and it's just. It's a sad thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll be curious to see what happens on Monday. We'll undoubtedly be talking to you then, my friend. So just
hope I don't get shot or something.
My advice to you would be to booze up this weekend because you'll need to fortify yourself for Monday.
You know, I love people for standing up for what they think is right, but I just don't like the fact that they don't think for themselves.
Well, it also helps if you're not as dumb as a bag of hair. You know, and that's kind of in short supply these days.
That's a peck of hair.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Thank you, Jim Roop.
You're my favorite, man. You're my king.
I do what I can to amuse, brother.
Thank you, baby.
Have a good weekend. All right, there you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles.
So somebody likes the show today anyway.
Which we didn't bust up his marriage. Jimmy, watch a hoe! Okay. Spice not really a hoe. I don't even know if he's married. He is married, though, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's a married family man.
Married, a kid, and so forth. All right. We'll get these calls, and we'll go back to the city desk. We'll get Eric in a moment. Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, brother man?
That Neil Young song really hurt me, Rick.
It was ass.
Painful.
Yeah, it was like having your ears sanded.
Well, I just want to say it's great to have you back, and the last time I heard a song that bad was when you played that guy from the Ramones, Donnie Ramone. It was like half German or something like
that. Oh, Didi Ramone, except he was called himself Didi King. Sarah's ex-boyfriend, Justin, had hooked us up with this. He's like, you have to hear this. It's the worst record I've ever heard. And it was this record by Didi Ramone called Standing in the Spotlight, where he tried to be a rapper, and it was a whole lot of... My name is D.D. Ramone. I am like the Rolling Stone. It's like the worst rap you've ever heard in your life. And he was the most talented of all the Ramones. He wrote all the songs you know. And then, but it's like, it's like as soon as he left the protective force field of the Ramones, it's like he was unable to do anything to save his life. I'm going to play that. We'll play that on Monday.
You're a purveyor of fine art, and I appreciate it.
I do the best. And we appreciate your patronage, but you spread the word, brother.
Okay, thanks, Rick.
All right, thank you. All right, there you go. See? That's two calls in a row. I didn't break up anybody's relationship. Didn't make nobody cry. Didn't call anybody a slut. Hey, Eric, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Rick, two things.
Yes.
First thing, I got dibs on being Sarah's rebound guy.
Okay.
And second thing, that Neil Young song increased the quality of your show immensely. It was horrible.
I was going to say, I'm picking up on your sarcasm. It's terrible, and it goes on. Look, I'm not the world's biggest Neil Young fan. I believe Neil Young is a lot like Bob Dylan in that he ought to write songs and then have other people sing them. He ought to be in a little cage, write songs, slides them under the door, somebody else records them. Brilliant songwriter,
it needs a different melody or whatever. It
goes on. The song is like 6 minutes. Let's listen to it here. Sorry. Oh, that's me. It's loud. The song is like 6.5 minutes long. And it's just this one... melody on. It's terrible. Ugh. It's a terrible song.
Can you start singing again?
What's that?
Can you start singing the words again for us?
No, I'm not gonna. I'll post them on the web. And the lyrics are terrible. It's a whole lot of. You know, the president sucks, and he likes to shoot ducks, and, you know, and it's from the, this is from the man who wrote Ohio. This is the man who wrote Heart of Gold. The man who wrote Cinnamon Girl.
He had an illegal immigrant write it for him.
Seriously. Rockin' in the Free World, he wrote. And then, I guess, this is like a shark-jumping moment for the man. All right. Thank you, sir. You spread the word.
Thank you.
All right. That's Eric. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, a crocodile, agitated by a chainsaw's noise, had chased the man operating it and snatched the machinery from him. Oh, this is from Florida.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it isn't. I'm sorry. This is from...
Where?
Australia.
Oh. I don't know what the Australia sound is.
Mm-hmm. Freddie Buckland was at a Northern Territory roadhouse on Friday, cutting a dead tree that had fallen across a saltwater crocodile pen during Cyclone Monica, when the 4.4-meter reptile struck. As he was trimming up the tree on the outside, the croc jumped out of the water and sped up on the tree. He climbed 18 to 20 feet, grabbed the chainsaw out of his hands. It must have been the noise. I don't think he was actually trying to grab
the crocodile. Freddy grabbed the chainsaw?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. They don't have hands. Oh, with his mouth?
Yeah, with his mouth.
Oh, that's it. You know, that look, I...
The crocodile's name is Brutus.
Okay. I got to talk about something. We have a lot of people listen to us, on the net somehow. I don't know how that happens. But apparently somehow there's some kooky, crazy internet out there where people are able to listen to the show. We have people in Florida, people in Australia. Florida's filled with crocodiles and presumably alligators, one or the other, whatever. Those things are terrifying. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen one at a zoo. I saw a crocodile at the San Diego Zoo one time. Those things are unholy demons. They, you look at them, you know, people don't realize that they're dinosaurs. I mean, they are living, breathing dinosaurs. That's what they are. They are fundamentally unchanged for the last 10 million years. They are the last living vestiges of the dinosaur era on Earth. They are terrifying. I cannot fathom living in a state like Florida where you're walking down the road and a goddamn dinosaur just lurches out of the weeds and goes for your ankles.
Yeah, well, look at the kind of people who live there.
Why would you live there? Because I get you. So there's not enough money. You can't sell enough drugs to get out of the state. You know what it is? It's like living in Arizona. You hear those people, they live in Arizona, and they talk about when you walk to the bathroom in the middle of the night. You don't walk. You don't step. You slide your feet. Anybody know why?
Tarantulas.
No. When you're walking to the bathroom, if you live in Arizona, they say if you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, you don't walk. You slide your feet.
Scorpions?
Yes. Because if you're walking along, right onto a scorpion, and scorpions are terrifying things too. Scorpions are the most terrifying thing on earth. You look at those things, they're horrible.
When I went to Arizona a couple years ago, there was one latched onto a screen door. It was pretty messed up.
Can't you just take a broom and knock it off?
No, but well, they're horrifying looking.
No, my cousin put it in a cup and we just stared at it for a while.
God damn, they're just awful. So we don't have anything like that here. All we have is the hobo spiders and those things. You never see those anyway. You know?
No.
So, I just can't fathom living in a place where you've got like some thing with 5-inch teeth and scaly skin. And, you're on your way to the Quick Mart and it's gonna lunge out at you.
Well, this croc chewed on the chainsaw for about a half an hour until they finally got it out of its mouth. We got a bit of a reinforced rod, bent the hook at the end, and at the same time, we were draining the crocodile pen. It's still in one piece. But yeah, the chainsaw's all messed up.
Okay.
But I think I'm changing the crocodile's name to Two-Stroke. As in the two-stroke chainsaw.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A little chainsaw humor. Somebody gets it.
Okay.
Well,
don't look at me.
A petition drive is underway in Atlantic City, New Jersey to keep the famed Boardwalk property in its traditional quarter in the new version of Monopoly coming out this summer. Game maker Hasbro said the latest version of the classic game will feature landmarks from American cities, and Atlantic City is not one of them.
Is there a Portland version of Boardwalk of Monopoly?
I don't think so.
There ought to be.
I'm sure there is some kiosk in the mall.
Yeah. Right next to that thing where they say a hermit crab for $10.
Like St. John's rent $60.
Yeah. Where Julie gets her ebony makeup.
I'm so fantastic. I wish I had a picture of that. Jolie sitting there with
Jolie is fantastic.
Jolie sitting there just unashamed talking some Nubian princess about like some store called like Oak or something for today's fashionable black woman. And there's Jolie, who's like the palest white woman I've ever seen in my life. She makes Sarah look like Angela Bassett. And Jolie's there. So I need a little something to bring out my eyes. And just like this clearly confused black woman who has no idea how to tell the honky. Like the cracker woman there. This is not for you. Like she's going to have anything in Jolie's shade. I mean, I wish we'd just gotten to the stage there at the mall of Jolie actually trying on makeup. What I would give to see Jolie trying it on. Well, let's do one more and then we'll break.
Well, anyway. Oh, let's do a Geek Watch then.
Here's your Geek Watch. Thank you.
This high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
And by the way, we should note as part of this Geek Watch. Now, you remember how, like, we were talking about 666 coming up at June 6th, 06?
Yes.
And I was talking to the Susan Reynolds in marketing. We're trying to figure out what to do. And I mentioned Horns Across the Willamette, which I thought was hilarious. Mm-hmm. There were certain members of the Rick Emerson audience who felt that it was not amusing. They may or may not still be a factor in our decision-making progress. But anyway, so we were talking about that, and I had this idea that we were going to do, like, try to come up with every demonic thing we could, and I just mentioned it once in passing, that we were going to try to have a Dungeons & Dragons game rolling in one of the studios here, when we'd equip it with a microphone, and then we would check in throughout the day to see how the Dungeons & Dragons game, is going. I mentioned it once for, like, 2 seconds, like a week and a half ago. Every single day this weekend, I've gotten cornered in the hallway by an engineer who has heard about the Dungeons & Dragons game and wants to be part of it. Ryan wants to be part of it. That guy Scott wants to be part of it. Will, of course, he's all over it. Will's like, I've got a pewter action figures and a velvet dice bag. I'll bring him in. We got to get Aaron, see if we can take a day off coming in. So it's going to be good times as everyone gets together to slay the dragon Tiamat or something. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Nintendo said that the next generation game console it has been developing under the codename Revolution would be given what the company believes to be a revolutionary name.
The name is stupid. This is the word. You're looking at it right now. You're watching history in the making. This new name that Nintendo... When revolution is not like a groundbreaking idea, but it's a good idea for a name, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. You are witnessing now the unveiling of a marketing disaster. This is a terrible name they've come up with.
It is spelled W-I-I.
It looks like Roman numerals. Yeah. And I don't think there's a... Is there a W Roman numeral?
No.
Sarah, you went to college. Sarah, is the W a Roman numeral?
I think if you get way, way, way up there.
Like if you're into skillions?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It looks like Roman numerals.
Well, it's W small I small I.
How would you pronounce that?
It is pronounced we, it says.
Yeah. But
or in the French market, we.
But it's stupid because I sat and look, I'm not the dumbest guy on earth, and I sat and I looked and I had no idea how to pronounce it. It's ridiculous. And people won't buy things that they either A, don't know how to pronounce, or B, are afraid to pronounce because it's embarrassing. This is why I have never ordered a Moons over my hammy. It's because who can say that? Who can
watch Geely?
Yeah, yes. Do you have a copy of Giggly and I'd like a Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity to go with that? None of those things. You've got to make things easy and not embarrassing for Americans.
Well, Wii replaces what had always been a working title for Nintendo's new system.
It doesn't even sound like you're speaking proper English. Wii replaces then the old system that don't be kicked to the curb.
Which will go head-to-head with Microsoft's new Xbox 360 console and Sony's coming PlayStation 3.
We done got ourselves a new gaming system.
And this is from the New York Times.
Yeah, all right.
The name was developed over 6 months in Japan.
Well, this is like those stupid companies where they'll pay a guy like $1 billion to sit in a room. Mm-hmm. You know what okay, here's a true story, because I am a dork and I know such things. You know there's that Microsoft service, and it's MSN Live, right? That's what they call the MSN.com. That's what they call their internet service.
Nobody really likes it.
There's a whole bunch of names, though, that don't mean anything that were come up with by companies. The biggest, most shining example of that is Pentium, which is a made-up word. People think Pentium means something, and I guess it does now. They've made it mean something, but the word itself is made up. It doesn't mean anything. There is no such word as Pentium. They paid a guy to sit in a room, and they paid him like $1 billion to come up with the name Pentium.
It's memorable, though.
That way, yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying it doesn't mean anything. They've created the word out of nothing. They paid a company like $3 million to come up with a name for the Microsoft online messaging system, or the Microsoft, the internet system. And the name they came up with was Onvo. O-N-V-O. They paid like $3.5 million. Some company came up with the word Onvo, which Microsoft, to their credit, and realized was so stupid and pointless that they never used it. It just sat, they own it. Onvo.com, I'm pretty sure, is owned by Microsoft. It just sits on a shelf. No one does anything with it. These companies, they try so desperately to be hip instead of just using a word that actually means something. And Nintendo's days are done. They're over. They're done. They're cooked. They're finished. They are hopelessly tied to a family-friendly video gaming time of the past. And their lunch is going to be eaten by Microsoft and others.
A Nintendo spokeswoman says it is meant to indicate that Wii is a platform for everyone, not just a gamer or a non-gamer. Is that what that's supposed to mean?
Whatever.
The dual eye is intended to suggest Wii's game controller, a tall, thin, white unit.
This is cool, though. This is cool. The game controller for the Nintendo Wii. See, you're some dumb saying. It sounds like you're talking about potty habits as a five-year-old. The Nintendo Wii. Listen to this controller. This is fantastic. Isn't this the motion-controlled one?
Mm-hmm. Used with one hand, the controller is motion sensitive. Players will swing the remote to stimulate play in a golf or tennis game, for example.
That is pretty cool, actually. So you don't actually have to steer with using the little thumb pad. You just wave the thing around. So that's actually pretty cool. But it's just a matter of time before that shows up on like the next platform for like the PlayStation or whatever.
Engage and Gizmondo
Engage.
Are cool names,
all right.
Said Michael Platcher, a research fellow. At Wedbush Morgan Securities in Los Angeles, like we care what he thinks, referring to previous products aimed at gamers. But consumers relate to the coolness of the product, not the name.
All right. Let's be done with that.
I think we're done.
There's your Geek Watch.
By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
All right, attention engineers who work for CBS Radio. We just received this communique from Aaron.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
This is directed to the engineers at CBS Radio. He says, subject line to this is, your DM awaits. Rick, I have already taken the 6th of June 2006 off from work. All your engineers will belong to me. My crown royal bag in hand, lead miniatures painted, battle mat cleaned and prepped, DM screen pressed. I don't have any idea what this means. James Horner CD mix primed. Let the D&D ponage begin. And then there's like a woot that takes up like half the page. Signed, Aaron, MFing, dice-tossing geek in the city. All right. Let's break now. We'll come back. We got to do this. Speaking of geeks, we'll do the Xbox files when we come back. We come back, Xbox files, talk about thawing corpses. What else? Maybe this tailgating thing over here. Later on, Scott Daly's going to be your FilmFeverRadio.com. We're going to be giving away tickets to Candidates Gone Wild as well. We'll do another installment of Rick Emerson's Making a Scene. All of that's coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on Johnson 970. You stay right there.